We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
Well, welcome. So glad that you guys are here tonight. So on Sunday, I talked a little bit about what God has been unveiling and what he unveiled a long time ago, what he's still unveiling, and that's his church. That's his church. And tonight, can you believe that after me talking on Sunday, I'm normally I don't really like talking for a long time on something, you know. But can you believe tonight, I'm not done. I'm not done talking about it. No, I was talking with Mel a little bit earlier this week, and I just was like, I've got some other things that I could maybe talk about, but man, it's on my heart. And Mel just said, well, then it sounds like you already know what you need to talk on. So I agreed with her, and that's about half the time how it goes. I agree with her. So, no, we're going to start off tonight, Matthew 16, verses 13 through 18. And I just want to kind of set this up because I think it's important for us to have this scripture in us. And over the next couple of weeks, this is what we'll keep coming back to, is this scripture right here. Right here, Matthew 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. But then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. And now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. I want to drive home something tonight, especially before we really get into everything I want to say, is this. We have got to continue to remain steadfast on the simple doctrine. The simple doctrine. It's powerful. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. We've got to stay on that. We've got to stay on that. And we get a lot of believers, a lot of God's people, and it's from a good place. We get excited to study maybe the stuff on the fringe, maybe the stuff in the area of opinions, the book of opinions. We want to get into the outrageous and the end times and all the new age cultural relevancy. But where we need to stand, and we got to remember that Jesus is going to build his church on who he is and his identity as the Son of the living God. He's our Savior and he's the Son of the living God. And people try to build doctrines, faith, they even try to build churches on all that other stuff, but we gotta keep it in our minds at all times that Christ is building his church on these things. Him being our Messiah and him being the Son of the living God. And as long as we, as those we know that we're a part of that church, where we're getting ready to talk about that word church, his ecclesia, or his ecclesia, depending on where you're from, That comes with us knowing our part in that too. We've got to hold true to that. We're going to help build that. We're going to help be a part of that building. We're going to help be a part of what Jesus Christ is doing. He is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. And we're not going to get hung up. We're not going to get divided. We're not going to get going off in different things where we shouldn't be without first knowing what does this have to do with Christ being our Messiah and him being the Son of the living God. Have I said that enough? And no matter where we go, we know that Christ comes and he anoints us when we stay on that knowledge as we lead in our homes, as we lead in our workplaces. Whenever we go out and we're buying and we're doing things, how we live according to Jesus Christ being our Messiah and our Savior, that is what reflects what we believe to the world. And that's how we advance the kingdom. The world will try to say that, well, church is a man-made concept. This verse says the exact opposite. Christ created the church. Christ created the church, and it has a very important role in our society. And you might go, well, Chapman, our society is not. Now, hold on. I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven, the society that you and I belong to. We're here in this one. We're here in this society. And yeah, there's some things that are looking really good, But we gotta know that no matter how much Donald Trump gets up and says, and forever we're going into the golden age, in 4 more years, we're going to be right back voting again to change it back the other way. The society that you and I belong to, the kingdom of God, that's what we're working to. And this church, this ecclesia, isn't just a place. It is a place, but it's not just a place with four walls, but it has a mission outside of the walls that it has as a building. And that's what's it. So this first spoken word by Christ here, ecclesia, it means a called out assembly, a called out assembly. And Christ makes mention to say, my church, my called out assembly. There's a lot of called out assemblies. There's a lot of people, there's a lot of people groups, there's a lot of community groups, there's a lot of different things you can get involved in. But what Christ is saying is, my called out assembly. That's what you and I are ascribing to be a part of, okay? And in that called out assembly comes with a blessing and anointing that the gates of hell cannot stand against it. It's so important that we get that you and I belong to a called out group, a called out institution that's been created by God under the new covenant that has an anointing on it where you and I can stand against the gates of hell. Other translations of that same verse say that the gates of hell can't stand against us. So there's both parts in that of you and I have an anointing when we understand our part, and we are built into this very fabric of this new institution. Ephesians 2, verses 20 and 22. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles. Silent, there's a silent T in apostle, if you didn't know that. And the prophets, silent P and H there, prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him. We're carefully joined together. You may think, who are all these random people that I come in contact with in my church? No, carefully joined. Just a time as this where you and I are is not an accident. Carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Christ's ecclesia lives by his Spirit. It's not enough for you and I to simply fall into the trap of going, checking that box, checking that religious thing, I'm doing my duty, praise God. But are we living by his Spirit? Are we living by his Spirit? The new covenant, what Christ did and what he purchased for us, is goes so much far beyond just a religious exercise, just something for you and I to do on a Wednesday night. It goes more than any. We get the opportunity, the choice, to live by his Spirit. And that's what we are able to do through this new covenant. We are his called out assembly. What God was seeking to create for us was to be part of something under a new contract, a new mandate, and it was a new body of believers. Called out. You and I have been called out. Called out from what? We've been called out from the world. We've been called out from the world. Not to say that we're trying to use our position over anybody in the world, but you and I have been called, if we're going to be part of that ecclesia, then we are going to be different than the world. We have been constructed and crafted differently, engineered differently. The blueprints, the plans are different than the world. We've been called out from that. We've been called out from culture in the world. We've been called out from the world. That means we've been called out from its culture. We have a separate, different culture that exists within the church. Or we should. We should. We should have a different culture in our church. We should have a different culture in our church. We should be thinking about things differently than our culture does. We should be addressing things differently than our culture does. And our blueprint, our roadmap, our guide that gives us what we believe and how our culture is to operate is clearly lined out in the Word of God. As a building, as His ecclesia, we've been called out from the culture. And in that, by following that, we've been called out of darkness into light. We've been able to see life differently as a part of a group, as a part of an assembly that's been called out to live differently than the world does. We get to experience things differently than the world does. Simply by choice. Simply by us being where we're supposed to be, being a part of things. We don't have to go through things the same way the world does. Hallelujah. The Bible says we do not mourn in the same way that the world mourns. We don't have to go through. We get to look, can you believe it? We get to look at trials and tribulations with all joy. Man, isn't that fantastic? With all joy. And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but that's the reality that you and I live in. That's the reality that you and I live in. When it says that the gates of hell cannot stand against the church, the ecclesia, what that means is there's a special anointing on your life to live not from pain to pain to pain to pain to pain, depreciate, 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 depreciate. Instead, rather, from glory to glory to glory to glory. Because of the anointing that's upon us, simply by us understanding, we've been called out. We've been called out to be in an assembly that has an anointing, an institution set up by God, not by man, not by man. There's a lot of churches that are set up by man. And what happens? That's where compromise comes in. That's where we have things that split up or die out. And so that's what we've got to understand and recognize. When we're a part of the ecclesia as what Christ talks about, and we are so grateful when we can be a part of an assembly of believers like that, we have to know that what comes with it should be exciting, something that we can look forward to. I look forward. I made this comment. I had the statistic, and I was going to write it down, and I didn't. But it's more than 50%. 50% or more of pastors in the United States would not attend the church that they are over if they were not in leadership in that church. You want to know why? They don't see it as an ecclesia. It's a job. It's a job. They don't belong to it. They are over it, yet they don't belong to it. We then have to be so careful as members of churches to not fall into that same trap. It's real easy. It's real easy to get into the checkbox mode and not ever really be a part or a... Y'all are with me. I'm talking about Wednesday night. Come on. Can we get some... Talking to the Wednesday night group here. All right. We've been called out. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. See, this place, this assembly, this group, this thing that Christ was building, this institution under a new contract would be a light to the world and a beacon for everyone else around it. That's what the church is supposed to be for you and I. And that anointing was to cover us and to create in us an excitement for not just doing the things of God, but being a part of the body of believers doing the things that God has mandated for us to do. There's an excitement that comes because it's not man-made, it's Spirit-led. And when things are Spirit-led, all of a sudden we begin to do things in the natural because of what's been preceded by the supernatural. 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. See, this was designed for you and I to operate under the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ's ecclesia, his assembly, to show the power of this new covenant that he created. No longer is his Holy Spirit hidden in the temple, except now his Holy Spirit is in us. And we don't take our lamps and put it under a bushel. Instead, we shine out for all to see. We go out into the world. We go out from our building. We go out from our assembly, our gathered. And we go out and we shine to show that this all-surpassing power is not of ourselves, but rather of the treasure that you and I both carry around in jars of clay. See, what we have by ourselves is very limited, very flawed. And we don't like to talk about that. But what you and I both boast in the successes of our lives, the change that's came in our life, the revelation where we've gone from darkness to light, points us and those around us to the treasure that we all carry. And our church, our institution, our building was created to be more than just us meeting. That's why God poured out his Spirit on us. That's why it was so important that his Spirit would go beyond the veil of the Holy of Holies and into our hearts to establish within us exactly what he was doing. And his idea was that you and I would not do it alone. See, we were called out. We get that. I'm called out, but we've also been called together. And that's where we struggle sometimes. I'm all for being called out. Yeah, call me. Yeah, call me. Oh, everybody else coming too? Everybody else coming too? Everybody else part of it? Everybody else is a part of it. See, we're not just called out, but we're called together. We've been created together. And this is where, since the beginning of the church, we've had a little bit of some issues. Because what happens is we turn what was meant to be a called out assembly together into just a meeting place. And really, whenever I talk about who I want to meet in the meeting place, I'm not talking about meeting you all. I just want to have an audience of one. And that's right, we do. We have an audience of one. But at the same time, though, come on. We've been called to be here together with one another. And this diversity thing, man, that the world really talks about, it's really a pain. Because I don't know if y'all know this, but you know, in church you got loud mouths. You got those quiet thinkers, you know, who won't ever speak up. You got know-it-alls, know-nothings. You got quirky people. You got weirdos. You got old people. You got young people. Man, what's worse? Young people, man, I'll tell you what. You got people who wear their hair in man buns and play on stage. You got people that don't quite have enough hair to do that anymore. But see, we got all kinds of different. We got all kinds of different. And what ends up happening is we get focused on only wanting our church to be what we want. We get our church wanting to be, well, it's all these, I tell you what, church would be great if it wasn't for the people. But that's the ecclesia. Carefully crafted together, you and I are. Carefully crafted together, you and I are. Because we balance each other out. See, because for every Chapman, there's a Hannah. For every Mel, there's a Rick. For every Ashley Ellison, there's a Michelle. See, we balance each other out. And what you have that's really strong, that gets on somebody else's nerves, is actually what they need. And what you think it just drives you crazy about somebody else is exactly what... See, as somebody who's a real I-daughter-T-crosser, as someone who's a real, I appreciated Jill Bettinger. You know, because her and I, we just think about things. Just and so, no, not even kind of. I need Jill Bettinger in my life. Y'all get what I'm saying? I need her because she is excellent at what I am working on. What I am working on. And that's how we need to say that. Because I real quick can say, well, come on, it ain't that big a deal. Come on, it's just a couple commas. Well, yeah, and then it's, instead of spending $100, you spent $10,000, and instead of taking care of this bill, now we're $300 behind. Because you get what I'm saying? And we can grate on each other, or we can work with each other and be the ecclesia that Christ has called us to be. It's kind of like this. How important, builders, and I'm not a builder, but how important are load-bearing walls? Are they important? Is a load-bearing wall important? It's pretty important. I mean, I'm not a builder, but I've been told a load-bearing wall, it carries a lot of weight, and it helps keep that structure upright. But how great would that building be if all it was load-bearing walls? You wouldn't have much to look at, but boy, you'd be strong. You'd be strong now with a load-bearing. It takes all of us. It takes even the parts that we think, who would go in that foyer and spend time decorating that foyer? Except we need that. Except contrary to maybe my belief, there are people that actually care the way that foyer looks decorated. Just a little funny story. I remember, gosh, I don't know if it was last year, Michelle. But Michelle came up to me and she said, Chapman, quick, what's been decorated in the boys' bathroom for the last 3 months? Like, what's been in there? And I said, well, there's some toilets in there. There's a couple sinks. And there's pretty much always soap, toilet paper, and paper towels. She said, my point exactly. There are just things that some of us don't even think about, and we don't think it's important. However, the whole building can't just be load-bearing walls. The whole building just can't be one thing. It requires all of us in Christ's ecclesia. It's a place where each of us can be protected and lifted up in the areas that we're weak. Galatians 6, 2 through 5 says, share in each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. Listen, it's not that you're not important, but you are not that important that you are above the law of Christ to help bear someone in this church's burden. You're not that important. And I like how it goes on to say, so we're to take care of others, but at the same time, don't forget, pay careful attention to your own work. For then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to everyone else. For we each are responsible for our own conduct. Both aspects of us as His called out assembly, we are to be careful and keep our heads on a swivel in this. Okay, what is leaning that needs my help? Who in here is struggling and there's something that I can do to help them? But what did Jesus say? Boy, you're worried about their speck and you've got the whole log hanging out your eye. We have to be very careful too, though, that in our own areas, what we have been called to do, let's quit worrying about others in the same breath. When we're not handling our own load, when we're not carrying our own weight, when you're not worried, you've not been helping, and then you're going to come in and bring a critique? Well, hold on now. Am I talking to the Wednesday night crowd or am I talking to the Wednesday night crowd? Okay. I'm just going to get offended here. Let's be real quick to not look to offer our critiques whenever we've not been carrying what we know. You're a load-bearing wall and you're trying to be a light fixture. You get what I'm saying? We need you. In his assembly, in his ecclesia, we belong to God and to each other to freely be used and to freely use our gifts. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, yet we all belong to each other. I get it. You want to be called out, but the only problem is that you've been called out with the whole other church. I get it. You want to follow Christ. I get it. You want to lead. I get it. But guess what? You got the whole church you got to take with you. Well, I'll just follow and I'll just go and I'll just do it. I don't need all them other people. Well, you're going to leave behind what God's put anointing on to go do your own thing. And there's been a lot of people that's tried that. You tell me if you've got an example of that working, and then let's figure out how close that is to what God's called. That's not what has it. I love what verse 6 says. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. When's the last time you thought about what you do well and how can I use this for the ecclesia? How can I use this for Christ's church of what he's trying to establish? We've got diversity. We've got it. And we've got to see that this diversity within us that Christ's already built in, we don't have to manufacture nothing. We don't have to manufacture nothing. If we'll just operate in it, all of a sudden now we've got some kind of a movement going on instead of a stagnant place where everybody just comes and has a meet and greet and then gets out. Instead, what we have is a called out assembly, moving together, moving as one. I'd say this to the kids, and I think I may have done this in here before too, but it's an old thing. I had a football coach that did it. But what's stronger, five or one? And your thought is, well, five. Five or one? We're stronger when we're unified around one another to drive for it and make an impact. We're stronger that way. Let's not get it twisted. See, we can't fall into the habits of substituting what was meant to be relationship-oriented, God and each other, into something completely different. We turn what was meant to be strong into something weaker, thinking that it's easier, comfier, more accessible, but we don't get out of it what we should get. The ride's not really worth what we're paying. Put to you like this. Back when I was a kid, they used to have these little things outside of Dad's grocery store. This is Dad's, D-A-A-D-S, in my hometown. And it was a little corn-operated horse you could get on. All right? I promise this will make sense here in a second. Anything spiritual if you make it. All right? But how many of y'all have ever rode a horse? All right? Any of y'all ever rode one of them old little mechanical horses? You get in, you put your little quarter in there, you ride for a little bit, and then you get off. That's it. It doesn't compare to what actually being on a horse is like. It's not the same. But it's easy. It's comfortable. And time-wise, it takes a whole lot less care to have to work on that than it does to actually take care of a ride horse. When we turn the ecclesia When we turn our Christianity into coin-operated Christianity, we come in, we sit in our chair, we're here for a little bit, and then we're out. And it's not the same experience as getting here earlier. Well, it's just so hard to get here and get here for elevation class. I get it. And I'm not trying to put nobody down that you know, you're working hard and you're just kicking. But it doesn't, what about after? What about actually getting in? What about life groups? What about you playing pickleball or coming into one of the other deals? What about something that, well, I really just like my coin-operated stuff. And then we get frustrated when those fiery darts come. We get frustrated when the pressure gets put on us that it doesn't hold up. It's because that's not ever going to hold up against what the world's trying to do as opposed to what God put the anointing on in his church. Isaiah 48:10 says, I have refined you. But not as silver is refined, rather I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. There is a point at which we are going to need, whenever we're going through that furnace, the people around us to keep us tempered, to keep us tethered, to keep us grounded, to remind us, hey, 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 God is for you. Hey, 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 I've been there. Let me tell you what God did for me. Hey. That's the ecclesia moving together. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. See, we need this group because all of us are either in one of two places. We've either gone through it or we're going through it. That's it. We've either gone through it or we're going through it. And we need one another as iron sharpens iron to take our faith and take it to a place that's not a cheap, dinky plastic knockoff. That's what we've been called. We ain't been called to a cheap plastic knockoff church. That's not what you or I have been called to. We've been called into something that's got a little bit tougher. A little bit tougher stuff. We deal with some tough stuff. But I know, and you know, that what the Word says is that for everyone who loves God, God turns all situations around for their good. But even knowing that, boy, I tell you what, whenever one of y'all come up to me and pray over me or pray for me, or just put your hand on my shoulder and, man, God's, you don't even know. I've been praying for you. Or you've got a word. Man, I don't know what you're going through, but I just got to tell you, man. Chapman, God gave me a word for you. I can't tell you what that does for me. I can't tell you what that does for me. Whenever we need one another, we're there. Because we belong to one another. That's what you and I have been called to. And forging this kind of a church, this kind of an ecclesia, is something that makes God proud and at the same time advances the kingdom of God to non-believers. And I'll just be honest. Whenever I hear people talk, man, my church, I just feel like all we do is da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, man, I empathize, but that's not the kind of church I go to. Well, you mean to tell me you're friends with everybody in that church? I mean, I'm not saying I'm best friends with everybody in that church. But let me tell you, I know not to say, well, all them people in that church. This is who we got. This is who we got right here and right now. We got each other for better or for worse. See, what we've got is something you can't put locks on. Yeah, at the end of every night, you know what we do? we shut this building down, we set the alarm, we turn the lights off, and this building goes dark in here. But the church don't. Come on. We don't ever stop that. We ain't never stop taking phone calls. Y'all get what I'm saying? And I'm not even just talking about me, Pastor Mel. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about what we do for each other. I'm talking about when you get that phone call in the night, or you're the one on the phone, man, who am I going to go to? Let me tell you where I'm going. I'm going to my church. I'm going to the ecclesia that I'm a part of, because I know that whenever I pick up that phone, I got me some prayer warriors that I'm going to call. And I might be reeling right now, but the devil don't even know what's getting ready to happen to him. The devil don't even know what's getting ready to happen to him. Why? Because the gates of hell can't stand against what you and I are a part of. That's why we've got to stay in. We've got to stay in. A couple more scriptures, I'm going to be done here. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching, that day being Christ's return. We got to keep encouraging one another. We've got to keep spurring each other on to good deeds. Man, I love hearing it whenever somebody's getting ready to do something in their business. Man, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to write that down in my prayer book, and I'm going to be praying for you. We've got to get away from that stuff of like, well, man, I'm praying for you. No. If you're going to say it, do it. And I pray over all of us that God will bring those people back to our remembering, whenever those situations come, because that's how we stand together. We need each other. And we know what's going on. We know what's going on. We know what's going on. But we got to spur each other on, because we all know the weight that we all carry. And we've got our lives that we're carrying. And we've got the call of Christ that we're carrying. And we can't afford to let either one drop. We're moving forward. The last one I want to read to you is this. 2 Timothy 2:20 and 21. Now in a large house, there are not only vessels and objects of gold and silver, but also vessels and objects of wood and earthenware. And some are for honorable, noble, and good use, and some are for dishonorable, ignoble, common uses. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, which are dishonorable, disobedient, sinful, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart for special purpose, and useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to, well, am I good? Am I a good vessel? Am I a bad vessel? Am I earthenware? Am I gold? Am I silver? I just want to know, are you even in the house? Are you in the house? Do you know where you're at? Are you in the drawer? Are you in the silverware drawer? Where are you? Where are you? Do you even count yourself to be a part? Does it matter to you if you're useful to the master or not? Because if that's where we want to be, if that's where all of us say we want to be, then we're going to have to see ourselves as a part of Christ's ecclesia.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.